Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The rave reviews still coming in for Hustle. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Welcome into Maggie and Perloff. Kyrie Irving isn't going anywhere. I mean, this is going to be fun to talk about. We can go through all the different machinations, Perloff, but Kyrie's not going anywhere. And it's partially Kyrie. It's partially his situation. It's partially the money. There's a million different ways to slice this and dice this, but all roads point back to Brooklyn. That's where he will be at the start of the next NBA season.
Then explain the Shams report today on The Athletic that Kyrie Irving could possibly test the free agency market. Explain it, Maggie.
Okay, I'll explain it this way. We're going through a contract negotiation in real time, which is not that fun or sexy to talk about, but that's what's happening. This is going to play out publicly. And the reason why it's going to play out publicly, from my vantage point, is because the Nets want this to play out publicly. They want to use all the public sentiment that is against Kyrie, the fact that he is a polarizing figure, and I'm not making him out to be a martyr. I know he thinks he is. I'm not doing that. But this does feel like a play from the team side because they want him to look like, oh, he wants out now. And what would that do for Kevin Durant? And how dare he? And this and that. And talk about all his flaws because that helps him in a contract negotiation. This is just pulling back the curtain. What I see out of the Brooklyn Nets, it might be a smart play. Maybe he takes less than the max, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay, so if you're the Nets and he's not going anywhere, he opts in for this year, $37 million. How comfortable are you at night if you actually have to sign him for 5 years?
Not comfortable at all. Just like the 76ers are not going to be comfortable signing James Harden to whatever they sign him to.
And Irving's 4 years younger than James Harden.
And sometimes it just gets uncomfortable, but this is the sort of, I'd say, bed you made when you gave Kyrie Irving the first contract. He brought Kevin Durant. The Harden stuff ended up being a whole other drama-filled thing, but Durant's still here. If Durant's here, he's going to want Kyrie. They're going to stay together, and the two stars have a lot of power in this organization, and they're the ones who are going to have the leverage. And listen, Kyrie might not have the leverage to get the full max, just like James Harden can, but you've already like gone this far down the road, and then the other part of it is Kyrie doesn't have a lot of trade value right now. You know that he's a great player when he's engaged and when he's healthy, but he doesn't have a lot of trade value. Have you seen some of the like mock fake trades out there? Like none of those bring the Nets closer to a championship rather than just riding with Kyrie.
Yeah, here's the thing though. If Kyrie does stay, which I think, like you, it's most likely, like this team's not winning a title. Like last year we saw, they basically, like, they didn't play any kind of real offense. It was just KD with a one-on-one move, Kyrie. Like, it just doesn't feel like
they didn't
over.
Play any defense.
This the dream of the Nets winning a title, to me, feels over.
Then explain why Vegas has them third in odds of winning a title going into next year. And public, that's with Ben Simmons. We don't even know if he'll ever play again.
It's kind of like how the Cowboys and the Raiders get a lot of public money, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but not third best.
You'd be shocked. Like, the Raiders and Cowboys have been in the top five, like, multiple years.
Yeah, but I get it. You just had the Nets who got swept out of the first round.
I've seen them tied, actually, with the Bucks and the Celtics. Warriors won. Then I'm seeing them like sort of at the same spot as the Bucks. Like, it's crazy to me that the Bucks are not higher than the Nets.
Well, I mean, yeah, and maybe that's a little Vegas playing in on the superstars and trying to get a little money going in on both sides.
Yeah.
But I would also say, like, where's the good option here? I mean, this is, to me, the only potential wild card, and it still seems incredibly far-fetched. The Lakers? Why? Because LeBron won a title with Kyrie Irving. He also won one with Anthony Davis. I don't see how this would possibly happen here for the Lakers. The Nets are not taking Russell Westbrook. As much as that would solve a headache for the Lakers, they're not taking Westbrook.
Well, let's hope so.
that would be wild.
You know, the one that makes perfect sense, I think everybody saw this and hit a light bulb in everybody's mind, every NBA fan. Like, of course Kyrie Irving's going to be a Knick. He's just like, he's 1 year away from Kemba Walker as a Knick. Like a 30, an injury prone 30.
He's better than Kemba Walker.
Yeah, but Kemba Walker was like a five-time All-Star. He's not that much better than him. It was like a,
But you watch basketball. You know Kyrie Irving is a better player than Kemba Walker.
Kyrie Irving will follow in the lines of Steph Marbury, Derrick Rose, Kemba Walker, Raymond Felton, every overpriced point guard,
Steve Francis,
who ended their career as a
Knick. What did we determine? AI went to a training camp with the Knicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yes, he's better than Kemba Walker, but remember Kemba Walker was the answer? Like, people were hyped on Kemba Walker 3 years ago. You forget.
No, it was, yes, but it was also like last year they took a flyer on Kemba. Like, that part of it, yes, I'll agree with you that Kyrie may end up with the Knicks someday, but that's not going to be today.
Wait, that was not just a flyer on Kemba Walker. Like, they wanted Kemba Walker for a decade in New York.
Well, I know, but the deal was, I think it was like 2 years and $18 million.
And how far apart do you think Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving are in age?
Oh, in age? Probably not, but
Kemba's 32.
I know, but I have Kyrie Irving, who I could have made a legit case was snubbed from the 75 greatest players of all time. But Kemba Walker wouldn't sniff that list. No offense to him.
Well, he's a four-time All-Star. Anyway, there are similarities. They're undersized. Like, all they can really do is dribble and score. Like, they're not real defensive factors.
No.
They're not Steph Curry-like shooters. Kyrie's a lot closer. But I don't know, like, show me a player like Kyrie who's helping anybody win a title right now. I just don't see him as, like, the modern NBA title-winning player. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I mean, he did win a title, so you can't say that he's
in
not...
In 2016, right?
In 2016, right. You're right. There's been some miles and some injuries since then.
And he's good at riding LeBron's coattails like many players.
Okay, well, yeah, a lot of people rode LeBron's coattails. You could say KD rode other coattails. Like, we can do the coattails thing. No, he's not the bus driver, according to Barkley, but he could be a bus rider. And I still think, like, Kyrie has value, just I don't think it would show itself on the trade market. If he's engaged and healthy... If for a playoff run, like, I think for a whole season, I know that sounds kind of crazy. I think Kyrie Irving is a really, really special player. And obviously, Kevin Durant loves Kyrie Irving. Does LeBron James love Kyrie Irving to the point where he would say to the front office, this is a guy we have to get, move heaven and earth? I don't even think that would work. I really don't. I just don't see it.
Well, actually, didn't LeBron choose Russell Westbrook?
He's not a great GM.
But, I mean, even, like, at this point, the Lakers can, after all the drama we had last year to go in on Kyrie, that would just be like, that would make winning time on HBO, the show about the 80 Lakers, seem like a, like, polite drama. Like, if they brought in Kyrie after last year's mess, that's just too insane. That can't really happen, can it?
Well, it depends if you think that Kyrie is the solution or an obstacle. You know, players see stuff that we don't see. Obviously, LeBron saw something in Westbrook that the whole basketball world was trying to tell him, no, don't do this. And he was like, step on the gas. Let's just go straight 100 miles an hour towards this thing. Maybe LeBron sees this with Kyrie. So the glory days of them together.
I saw a funny tweet from a buddy of mine. He said the Nets should do the Russell Westbrook trade, then trade to get Harden back and just reunite the 2012 Thunder and just
Let's see how it looks a decade later.
Well, basically, there's been some form of that weird team a couple times now. I don't get it. Just feels like everything just feels off about this. Like, it feels like negatives and distressed assets and players who are not living up to what they should be living up to. Doesn't this feel like a negative conversation?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting conversation.
It's definitely interesting, but I feel like the way people are painting Kyrie, it's like, oh, this guy wants so much money and he's just going to tank another franchise.
That's exactly how he's being covered. It seems like the Nets are putting this out, and I'm not blaming him for it. They're trying to get some kind of leverage, but I hate if this is indeed true and if I'm right and if it's coming from the Nets side. It is trying to paint him as, you know, like somebody who, of course, you know, we would say on the outside, he's not worth a max deal. You know, just like we said that about Harden, of course he's not worth a max deal. So if a player's trying to have a contract negotiation, it makes the player look bad.
Well, okay, but we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure. Yeah. This is just my hypothesis of being in the media for a long, long time.
Shams is an agent guy, though.
You never know.
Yeah, well.
You got to play 3D chess on this stuff, Perloff. You got to understand who, where it could be coming from, and then who would know that, and then play it against each other. I mean, this one's like five layers deep, and I love it.
But aren't you most likely to get that completely wrong if we're trying to analyze 3D chess?
We might. Maybe it's from Kyrie's point of view. I don't know. There's so many fascinating parts
of this. Why would the team say that Kyrie might test a free agency market? That actually weakens the team's stance. That sounds like a player.
No, you could also, yes, that could be the players trying to get some leverage. But you could also do like the weather balloon thing, right? Where you put this out to see who comes calling. Like, you don't know. Maybe there's another team out there or another owner or somebody who's always coveted Kyrie Irving who could come out of the woodwork. Maybe you're trying to do this for the Knicks. Maybe James Dolan ends up saying, move hell and high water, we need to get Kyrie Irving. There's 100 different ways to make this public, reasons rather, to make this public and just sort of see what falls out, shakes out.
How do you know it's not the agent who's driving that? That's what I'm saying. Like, it could be like this free agency. Like, that sounds like a very agent-driven sentence. Kyrie's going to test the market.
Well, I mean, his agent is a stepmother. It's not like he's with some big, powerful agency that is, you know, the puppeteers of the NBA with CAA and some of these other agencies that really, like, move things around. So maybe it is just, you know, his stepmom and agent sort of flip things out.
The funniest outcome as an NBA fan would be if he did not opt in, then signed a six-year deal with the Magic. I would just laugh so hard.
We're like, going all in.
Yeah. Or give me three teams with like with space, like Thunder, Magic, Hornets. I don't know who has space. Hornets are probably too good. But I would love to see him just be like, you know what? I don't need your money. I'm going to go for the max at a non-contender.
You know, it's so funny that you say that because just as I was saying, you put this out there, you never know what shakes out. What if Michael Jordan always loved Kyrie Irving? You never know. Maybe Charlotte makes him.
Can have him.
I know. Probably could have had him a couple times.
Yeah, no, I would love. But then does Kyrie say, well, I'm not going to Charlotte?
I think that I'm assuming he has a no trade.
No. But he's a free agent after June 29th.
No, so. But if he opts in.
Oh, they do that in the NBA, a no trade clause?
Definitely. Of course. Famously, Carmelo Anthony had one.
So Kyrie has to agree to the trade after the signing.
I would just assume because he had so much leverage to, you know, it was like they were both blessing Brooklyn with their presence, he and KD. I'm assuming they gave him everything they wanted. Yes, Samter?
So like the two teams that like seem to be linked most closely with potentially trading for Kyrie, I'm obviously the Knicks, but whatever, are the two LA teams. So if you're the Clippers, forget about the net side of it. If you're the Clippers, I guess both sides, would you trade Paul George for Kyrie Irving?
God, no, not in a million years.
I don't know. See, but there's also a Kawhi part to that. Remember, Kawhi and Paul George wanted to play together. So do you split that up? I can't imagine two different players than Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving for two totally different reasons.
100%, but maybe, Kawhi needs that Kyrie guy.
The Clippers would not offer Paul George. Paul George just has had two great years in Clippers, like except for like 2 years ago.
The injuries.
Right, but you have to offer somebody the Nets are going to want back to build their title team with KD, and there's nobody else. Like, if you're going to trade a star, you need to either get a star back if you're looking to contend, or you need to get pieces back so that you can build for the future. The Nets aren't looking to build to the future, right? They're looking to get a star back for Kyrie if they were to make a move.
Plus, Clippers and Lakers have no trade. They have no draft picks, and I don't think the Nets want any draft picks.
So, like, if you're the Clippers, the only option really is either Kawhi or Paul George. You're not getting rid of Kawhi, even though he's hurt. Like, it's Paul George or that's it. And if you're the Lakers, same thing. The Nets aren't taking Westbrook under any circumstance. So the only option really is Anthony Davis. Now, on paper, it sounds ridiculous, but AD's played 49 games on average the last 4 years. If you're the Lakers, do you have a better chance to win with Kyrie or with AD, knowing that he's never healthy?
I bet you.
No, all around.
I bet you my mortgage they would not offer Paul George for Kyrie Irving. Like, that is not going to be discussed.
You're probably right, but if
Anthony Davis even less like, there's no way.
Right, so then there's no chance that he's getting traded to the Lakers or the Clippers, because those are the only two guys that the Nets would take back.
We've talked earlier in the show. Bill Simmons put out some fake Kyrie trades. The Clippers have Luke Kennard, the NBA's leading three-point shooter, and Morris. I don't know which Morris. One of the two Morrises is there.
Just guess. You're 50-50 on whether you get it right.
So I think the Clippers want to put together a bunch of garbage to try and get Kyrie. And
but for if me, you're the Nets, you're taking back garbage?
They definitely will.
Well, the thing about the Nets, too, is that they're already almost maxed to salary, like to the hard cap, by only paying six players. And that doesn't even count Kyrie. Like, we're talking about teams that are so, like, heavily into the luxury tax here. Maybe they would like to take back, you know, a 4-for-1. I don't think they'd actually get that, but something like that. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. JJ's in California. He's got an idea. What's up, JJ?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Paul George ain't leaving L.A. That ain't happening.
I don't think so.
Second of all, what do you think about Kyrie getting traded down to the Heat for Tyler Euro?
I love this. The Heat is perfect. I don't know why we are talking about
Tyler doesn't play defense.
Give him Lowry and Hero. Yeah.
I mean, I could think about right now, if they would have been playing Boston like they was and they had Irving instead of Hero, they probably would have beat Boston.
Yeah. I think it helps both teams. Hero's 22 years old. He's an all-star. He was sixth man of the year. Like,
no, I know
I'm not
that.
A Hero guy necessarily.
But don't you have Joe Harris? How different is Joe Harris and Tyler Hero?
I think they're very different. Duncan Robinson and Joe Harris are the same person. Hero is much more of a shot creator.
I guess.
Much more athletic.
But what the Nets need is some defense. Do you think Tyler Hero is going to bring that?
I don't know. I feel like Tyler is pretty long. Like, he's not like, he's pretty athletic, pretty long. I think Hero, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant is a lot more interesting than some of these other options. Yeah, like if you gave him Hero, maybe you throw in Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, but Duncan Robinson could barely get on the court in the playoffs, and Tyler Hero, ditto.
Hero's hurt. Hero's a big,
He was a big contributor to the finals team, obviously, in the bubble, and then last year to win sixth man. But
I don't think the Heat would really do that, though.
Does Kyrie fit in with Heat culture?
I don't know, but I don't think that he would give up a 22-year-old Tyler Hero for Irving. Like, you got to look
at
the
age. There were some trade rumors that Tyler Hero was being shopped. We did hear that.
Right. I think they need to get more in return. There was, like, way back, there was a Tyler Hero, Ben Simmons. But I don't think they're going to give up. Because I think, depending on the money, like, he's on the downside. Can we all admit that?
So that's the weird thing about Kyrie. Yes, of course. He's not what he used to be, but there's always that what if. What if he's engaged? What if he's healthy? When you're watching him, it's unbelievable. He's finals tested. You don't have to worry about that. It's just like, it's all the what if, all about it. 855-212-4CBS. And in turn, the Nets are a big what if. 855-212-4227. Now, if Kyrie Irving is traded, there is one big loser in that deal. We'll get to that in just a moment. Just getting going here on Maggie and Perloff. So glad to have you on this Monday. So much to get to today. We want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. You can find us on Twitter at Maggie and Perl, Facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff, Instagram Maggie and Perloff. We've got a YouTube channel. It's awesome. Go check it out. Subscribe. We're back in a minute with your Kyrie calls.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. Now, Maggie, you know I live in Brooklyn, 11201. I have never in my life heard a Brooklynite talk about the Nets, which is interesting to me. It is a team without a fan base.
That might be tough. Considering how much drama they drum up all the time, I'm surprised that more fans aren't, you know, jumping on.
There's zero Brooklynites who care about the Nets. I don't know where their fan base is. It might be another part, maybe deeper Brooklyn, but I think it was
in New Jersey, and it's just all those people from Jersey that followed them when they were the New Jersey Nets.
Honestly, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that they're in the bottom five of all teams for dedicated fans. Where would a parade be, for example?
Brooklyn Bridge.
Brooklyn Bridge. That's
it's
yes.
Like 5 seconds from your house.
But that walks to Manhattan.
Well, you know, there's some symbolism there. I don't know.
It's just amazing to me. Like, I feel like Kyrie is not. He lives near me, actually. But like, there's no. It's an odd team. It feels like a mercenary team. Does that make sense?
Well, okay, so let's flesh this out. So the report is today that Kyrie Irving and the Nets are at an impasse in their contract, and he's got 1 year to opt in, which he'll likely do, but obviously he doesn't want to play on a one-year deal. He's a 31-year-old guy who has had an injury history, yet he's still considered one of the great players in the league when healthy and engaged. So he's gonna think it would be below him to be on a prove-it deal. Even despite some of his quirks and stuff like that.
Wait, you're talking about next year's deal. But, like, what choice does he have? He already signed this contract, right?
No, but I'm saying if he opts in.
If he opts in, he has 1 year where anything
But he's not just going to play on the 1 year deal.
See, I think that's right. I think he will play because, you know, NBA players don't hold out on contracts.
Well, I mean, he was not getting paid for the home games that he was going to miss this year. And I know there was more to it about him not getting vaccinated, but, like, if anyone could hold out, not that he would hold out. I think eventually if they're not offering a long-term deal, another team is going to come along and offer maybe not the max, but they're going to offer him more security than just 1 year.
So
another team will take a flyer on him.
That there has to be a trade then.
It could be a sign and
trade. But I think at a certain point, maybe I'm totally wrong, like I think after last year's fiasco with the vaccine, I don't think he would be the first player in decades to hold out over a contract. Like to not show up for game one because he's not getting paid the right money when he's making $37 million.
No,
that's a little much for even Kyrie.
Well, I think that you don't see players holding out as much because they just force trades.
Also, he's making $38 million next year.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but I think that he will say, and he would say, like, I'm still in my prime earning years. I can get 3 years, $150 million, probably about what James Harden might be looking at. The one interesting thing about this, well, there's more. But there's a Kevin Durant factor here that's undeniable. Now, Kevin Durant has already signed on for multiple years with the Nets, right? Although I don't know what that means in the NBA anymore. But he's already signed on for multiple years. He came to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie is from New Jersey. This is his hometown team. He's the one who wanted to play here in front of his family and all of that. So Kevin Durant came with because they had the two max slots that were open. If Kyrie then leaves in a trade, where does that leave Kevin Durant? I mean, at one point you had the promise of Kyrie Irving and James Harden, and now you're going to be left with who? Like, no offense, but who? Like, you're going to be left with Joe Harris and Ben Simmons, who's, you know, a head case, and maybe Nick Claxton, and who? Bruce Brown, maybe? I mean, this is not like what I think KD envisioned when he agreed to come to Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving.
But to me, in my mind, maybe I'm making a mistake here, the dream was already dead. Like, I know now you say the Vegas odds are high, but like, didn't this whole plan already fall apart?
I don't think to them it did. I think
really,
I think KD is looking at he praises Kyrie in a way that is like amazing. He'll say like, yeah, this is why I love basketball. This is, you know, you should show this at basketball clinics. Like, he loves playing with Kyrie Irving. And I think that Durant would and should take it very personally if Kyrie Irving were to leave town.
See, it's funny because I've been spending the last month listening to this. Kevin Durant's legacy is taking a hit because Steph is winning one this year without him. But implied in that was he has no chance of winning in Brooklyn in my life. Because, well, if everyone thought like, oh, okay, well, Kevin Durant has a good chance to win one next year and even this up, but nobody ever thought that. Everyone's like, ah, oh, KD screwed up by leaving for Brooklyn. Like, isn't it all assumed? Didn't everyone assume he made this huge mistake to leave Golden State? Because everyone knows he has no chance to win with this Brooklyn team.
Imagine how much worse it would be if somehow Kyrie gets traded to like the Lakers or something and wins a title with LeBron. Like, that to me is where Kevin Durant is kind of like a little bit vulnerable here and exposed from a legacy standpoint, because yes, it already took a hit with the Warriors literally having their parade right now as we speak, and every person on stage is wearing some kind of clapback t-shirt. I mean, they took this all so personally, and Durant would be in danger of not only having the Warriors, that he already had the Warriors win a title without him, and if Kyrie were to somehow get his act together and win a title with someone else, that is awful for Durant.
That would, everyone might mean, like, Kyrie would be deep on the bus of a Lakers show. He would, not only would he not be the bus driver, he wouldn't even be the guy right to the right of the bus driver. So I feel like people would think, like, Kyrie joined a super team. I don't think that wouldn't weigh on Durant like it did, like him joining a super team. Like, the whole point of Kevin Durant is he needs to be the bus driver on a championship team.
Okay, so he's still, so, okay.
I don't think, like,
he is the bus driver, even now with Kyrie.
I feel like, and I'm so surprised by these odds. I thought everybody gave up on this Nets core when Harden
left. Gave up on Durant. The rest of us didn't.
Well, really? Like,
you said Durant was washed.
Why did everyone say that this is all, like, why is no one saying, like, well, Durant could even the tables with this whole leaving the Warriors thing if he won next year? Because nobody thinks this core of Nets team is going to really be a contender.
No, but think about it. You've said this, and Barkley has said this, and everyone. If Durant won a title as the bus driver, that does immeasurable things to his legacy.
Yeah, right.
He's the bus driver now, even with Kyrie on the team.
Right, but he's not going to win with Kyrie on the team because he's a 53-game-a-year ball-dominant guard who can't play defense. He needs...
Kevin Durant plays defense.
Kyrie. Okay. KD needs a new start. He needs another complete shot at being a bus driver. Like, he needs a different roster around him. It's like this.
So you're saying KD should leave, but he can't leave again. That's what you've said.
Or like Kyrie go, he just needs to start over in the Nets and start to recruit a new team around him. Like, maybe give it a down year.
Okay.
Like,
but
KD needs a new roster.
I'll ask you, does Kevin Durant seem like the guy who's doing the recruiting, or is he someone who's been recruited?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like he's the guy who's out there trying to play shadow puppet GM, maybe a little with Harden, but like that he's the guy who's really trying to actively recruit.
Maybe the front office too. If they clear a bunch of cap space, like, which I think they probably have to in a certain, like, it's basically who's going to be paid after
Kyrie? Well, Joe Harris got a huge contract. He got like a $72 million contract, was injured last year.
Right. Does he make like 18 or 19 in a year? Like,
yeah, I mean, not nothing.
So like in a couple of years, though, I feel like they could reunite a different super team. Like,
yeah, but
I think they need a different super
team. But that's a tough sell for an owner who at the end of this contract is going to be paying Kevin Durant like $54 million to say like, well, we really got to hit the reset button on this. If you are Joe Tsai, the owner, you're like, wait a minute, I'm playing all this in the luxury tax. Like, we're winning now. We have to do everything we can to maximize our window now.
But they're not doing anything. What have they done to maximize our window this offseason? There's no rumor of anybody coming to the rescue.
No, but they traded for James Harden. They just didn't realize that he was going to totally quit on the team in the middle of a game.
So
they've been super all in.
I think they take a break this year because there's nothing they can do this offseason. They're totally screwed.
Well, right? They might trade Kyrie Irving. I don't know.
And then let's like hope, like, I don't know, like a Kawhi or somebody. They need like another real
championship.
I'm just saying they need somebody who you could build a champion around. Like Katie's going to need some help. And I don't see anything on the horizon for the Nets.
Well, Ben Simmons, I don't know. Mark is in Miami. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, the best thing the Nets could do is move on from Kyrie. I mean, that guy is just a – I call him Kyrie the cancer. Wherever he goes, he destroys your team. He doesn't show up to play, and he's hurt all the time. And let's face it, guys, he just puts up meaningless stats. He doesn't actually help you win. He's a two at best. At this point, I think he's a three. If you're the Nets and you're Cy and Sean Marks, the best thing to do is get that guy out of your locker room.
Wait a minute, Mark, I got to stop you because it's easy for us to say that and you got to get Kyrie out. But if Kevin Durant wants him there, don't you think that goes a long way in the organization? You know how basketball works.
No, because they don't have to worry about that because he already signed his max extension. So he's not going anywhere. And I think deep down KD knows, man, I think I made a mistake picking this guy as my Robin because he's shown he's not that guy. And getting rid of LeVert, it was a huge mistake because you've seen LeVert a baller. So the best thing you can do now is the Pacers are looking to rebuild. If that Brogdon deal's on the table, I think Malcolm Brogdon would be the perfect fit for that offense because he's an elite passer. He can score 20-plus. He's obviously a team guy, and he's not a cancer. He's not going to blow up your locker room. So don't you think, guys, a guy like him, because I don't think any other team really is going to give up any assets for Kyrie because they just know what a cancer he is. Because imagine, guys, he's already in a place that he likes how destructive he is. Just imagine if some awful team like Sacramento or, God forbid, even the Lakers got him. I think he'd be even worse. And I think GMs are going to give that guy an incentive-laden deal. Basically, I'll give you a team option, one-year deal, two-year deal, short-term, and a max deal where we can get out of it. Because you don't want to give this guy a max deal because there's no way in hell.
Not a max, but Mark, do you think that, and this is no disrespect, but like, do you think that he would accept a trade to Indiana Pacers? I don't see that. I mean,
well, that would be the only other option because if Brooklyn's, I think Sean Marks has pretty much made it clear. I don't think Sean Marks and Steve Nash want him there. They basically brought him there because you're the second team in town. You want to make a splash. You wanted Kevin Durant. It's like you have to bite the bullet and take Kyrie because that's the only way you're going to get Durant. But I think those two guys are out on him. And if those two guys are out, they don't want you there, I say kick rocks, get riddance, and get whatever you can get out there in the market. Because this guy, you're not going to get any better with this guy.
I know, but
another head case of Ben Simmons.
And Mark, appreciate the call as always. You make great points, but I'll ask you, like, yes, you can get rid of Kyrie. Does Malcolm Brogdon get you closer to a championship? I can't say definitively, yes, that's true. I love Malcolm Brogdon, too, by the way.
They've been trying to ship Malcolm Brogdon every day for the last 3 years, and nobody is interested.
And Miles Turner. I mean, these guys have been available for a trade for 5 years.
Okay. I've been racking my brain over the last few minutes to figure out how we're going to get KD or Kyrie, for that matter. Who is the one player who's just coming? He's coming to his own as a championship-level player. He's under contract, but he feels like he's going to want another superstar around him.
He's already
Joel
on the max.
Joel Embiid. I don't know what you do with the Harden thing, but
you want KD to go to Philadelphia?
Or Joel to go to Brooklyn. Something like
Joel would have to go to Brooklyn because you've already said KD can't go and join. Also, wouldn't KD be a bus rider with Joel at this point or no?
That's a problem. But Joel is not but Joel's not in the canon. Like joining the Warriors, that was a huge, that was an obvious joining a super team. Joel's sort of a flawed superstar, so maybe you could get away with it. That's a great question.
You think the Nets and the 76ers are going to team up again?
Like, I'm just saying, if you wait 2 years, there's going to be a whole different realignment of superstars. And like KD and Kyrie, they probably might have one more shot at really building a champion. And I don't think it's together. I think they're going to break apart and come back together or something, or maybe add a third superstar. You know how you yourself said the NBA, like nothing, none of these superstars are permanent.
No, but I have also said that, you know, we've disagreed about Durant's legacy where you don't think he could leave and join another team. He's not going to get the credit he is looking for. To go team up with Joel Embiid in Philly is going to look like he's joining, especially after Harden dissed him like that. He's got to have a little pride. He can't do that.
Okay, look, yeah, there's got to be something. Like, how do we need to get KD over the top without it being too embarrassing. We have to put a piece of thread through a needle to get KD in the exact spot to help his legacy. Somebody help Kevin Durant's
it
legacy.
It shouldn't be this hard. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, the one thing that's going to matter most this NFL season. We'll get to that in just a moment. Time for a CBS Sports Update. Tad bit late. Here is Seth Kanter.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. The Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant debate has spilled into the breaks over here around
yeah,
the building.
Of course.
But I think we should talk a little football because, you know, it's a Monday.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. You never need an excuse.
It's any day of the week. Yeah.
You never need an excuse to talk football. So a lot of like sort of simmering quarterback news out there.
Okay. We're going to do a little game called Will It Matter NFL Offseason Edition. So Samter's going to give us something, a topic. We'll tell you whether this will actually matter when the season begins or not. Because a lot of things happen in the offseason that feel big at the time.
Yeah.
But then the season starts and it actually ends up not being that big of a deal.
Absolutely.
So, Samter, start us off.
All right, well, there's a lot of talk about former MVP Lamar Jackson and his contract situation. So do you think it's going to matter that Jackson's going to be entering the season either with no contract or, I don't know, having a contract that is not up to what he's looking for?
Let's, for argument's sake, let's say he goes into with the last year of his deal.
Yes.
Say they don't get a contract done. Is it going to matter?
Okay, guys, start here.
Yes.
Okay, I think, it is going to matter, and this is why. I think he's going to come out like a house on fire. I'm so fired up for the Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson, he's going to want to prove, he's going to go to camp on time. I don't think he's a holdout type, and I think he's going to want to torch the NFL this year, and that means a lot of running. He'll run for 1,300 yards, and I feel like now they have a healthy backfield. Like, I'm jumping on this Lamar Jackson offense bandwagon because of this offseason drama.
Yeah, I do think it will also matter for similar reasons. But I was listening to Josina Anderson, obviously insider in the NFL. She was on Pat McAfee's show, and she had an idea that said, if you just took Deshaun Watson's contract to the Ravens and said, top it by just a little bit, we'll get this thing done. Who says, do the Ravens just say flat out no to that?
I think so.
But think about it. You end up franchising them, then you franchise them again, and then you're going to go do a contract? You're probably going to end up paying him more than you would if you just gave him $235 million guaranteed.
Well, I think you'd pay him $23 million this year and about...
you definitely almost $50 next the year after.
Yeah, if you could guarantee he'll stay in the... No, $23 this year. Then you'd play the salary tag, which is lower than the Deshaun Watson. And then you'd pay $50. So, okay, this year he's under contract.
He's under contract for $20. Then next year I think would be it's like the average
41.
Of the top 10 quarterbacks.
Right, right.
So and then the next year it's like average plus and then you bump it up.
Right, so basically you get 3 years where you're at a way under the Deshaun Watson. So you save like $25 million up front.
But
the question is how much is it going to get you on the back end?
Yeah, then you end up getting him a contract. You're going to tack on $200 million by the time you get to when he would be a free agent. This is why the franchise tag, doing it twice, never works for teams. It's not in your best interest.
You had a retort. Unfortunately, the time ran out on you, Andrew. So
what's
do you
next?
Think that this will matter? Tom Brady's decision, indecision, retirement, unretirement, do you think that the way the offseason's played out will impact the Bucs on the field?
I'm going to say no, but... Brady does seem like he's thinking about everything except for football. But he's done too much, and I have too much respect slash fear of him to say that it will impact him on the field.
He's been all about TB12 for 5 years, so I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, but now the broadcasting and more things, like, you know, it's just he already retired for 40 days. Like, so all of that is in the stew.
I think yes. And I have a feeling, I have a bad feeling.
In what way?
Here's my feeling. Remember when Favre went to Minnesota, Brett Favre?
Yes.
And he killed it his first year. They went to the NFC Championship game. Then the Saints were cheating with the bounty gate. And Darren Sharper almost killed him. Like they were
cheating the salary cap. They weren't cheating on the field.
No, the Saints, I'm saying.
The Saints were cheating the salary. That's what bounty gate was. It was like a salary cap violation.
They were diving at his knees left or right.
They were dirty, but yeah, okay. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
Well, also the officials just like could not control him. Like, yeah, I think they crossed the line. Anyway, so he failed. The next year, he's like, well, you know what? I'll come back one more year. We were so close. It went terribly. He was hurt the whole time. I'm getting this is not going to go as well as last year vibe.
Mm.
It's not just that. They have some changeover in the offensive line. Obviously, Antonio Brown's gone. Gronk hasn't committed yet. I have a feeling Gronk will be back. And Chris Godwin's coming off an ACL. Like, you got to admit, there are a lot of things that could possibly go worse. Yes. I get a little bit of a negative vibe.
May I present, though, the alternative, which is it's Tom Brady. Like, even if things are going poorly in the beginning of the season, like, they always find a way to figure it out. He's had terrible offensive lines in New England before, and then somehow by the end of the season, they're all playing amazing. Like, I didn't understand it, but that's because Tom gets the ball out so fast.
But that last year in New England was ugly. You know, that never corrected
itself.
But
I also think he was a foot out the door there.
Yeah, it's also 1 year out of 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's true.
So
we can allow
that's
them.
That's not the greatest evidence.
A down year. That is a violent sound.
Yeah, that's two players tackling or maybe other things happening that we just don't want to know about.
I don't want to know what's going on the bottom of that pile. Okay.
So here's the last one. Tyreek Hill's kind of been talking about it a lot, about how integral he was to that Chiefs offense. So do you think it matters that Hill's gone from the Chiefs, that Mahomes has looked really bad in the Super Bowl and then in the AFC Championship game second half? Do you think it's really going to matter, Mahomes taking this slide or the Chiefs almost taking a step back with everything that's happened over the past year?
Now, Perloff is an Andy Reid disciple. He's kind of on the coaching tree. It's like coaching tree adjacent.
Yes.
And believes that they will be able to make up for the offense at any time.
AJ Feely is my example.
Okay.
He killed it as an Eagles backup.
Right. So I do think that the offense is probably going to look not the same, but I bet the production is probably going to be pretty similar because you're right, it is Andy Reid. However, I do think there's going to be an adjustment period that we're going to see. I don't know if it's because defenses like last year started bracketing them and figuring it out. Like, I see this as a reinvention a little bit of the Chiefs. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like, but something is going to be a little different this year. And I have probably no doubt it's going to work because I think Patrick Mahomes is that special of a player.
Okay. I also think it's going to make an impact. I think there's going to be an even bigger chip on Patrick Mahomes' shoulder. I've already heard him talking about the doubters and things like that, kind of like these Golden State Warriors championship parade.
Yeah, just don't say strength in numbers or else Thompson's going to tell you to go take a flying leap.
Freaking bum.
It's going to call you a freaking bum. Thank you, Stu.
Apparently all great athletes are incredibly petty. It's not just Steph. I think he's just admitting that he's incredibly petty. I think Mahomes is probably taking receipts. He seems like such a nice guy, just like Steph Curry. He's probably taking receipts right now, and he's going to use this as bulletin board material. And you're right. Like, I think actually, I've said this. This might sound counterintuitive. I think they really benefit from slowing down that offense a little bit. Like, I feel like they need to protect their defense. Last year, you remember the Bills? Like, they had how many touchdowns did Gabe Davis have? Four.
I think four, yeah.
Yes. I mean, Gabe Davis. I know you think he's the second coming of John Taylor in San Francisco next to Jerry Rice.
but they need
to protect that. I love it. They need to protect that defense, and that means that they need to change their style a little bit. And I think they get more conservative. They have a lot of running backs. I think they need to be a much more like short passing team. I know that's not easy for Mahomes, but I think he's going to be angry and effective and good. And I like the Chiefs.
Yeah, same. They're going to be super scary.
And they're in that awful division. Man. That's the only thing that both you and I agree. Like, we like all four AFC West teams.
How do you not? They're all so great. Or at least on paper, they're also great. You know, hearing Darren Waller talking on Jim Rome, I'm like, geez, these guys are going to be impossible to stop. Yes, Sam.
I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility that this Chiefs team is actually better without Tyreek Hill? I mean, listen, I'm not saying that Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Juju are going to fill the gap, but we know Justin Ross is like a top-end talent if he's healthy, right?
Justin Ross was undrafted.
Right, but I mean, he was only undrafted because of health reasons. If he's healthy, he was the number one wide receiver prospect of his class at the time. Right?
I know, but
Sky Moore, second round pick. They got Karlaftis. They got Trent McDuffie, two first round defensive players. Like, I know Tyreek Hill is very good, but is he that good that Juju, Marquez, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, they also got Ronald Jones to slow down the offense? Like,
you're reaching, dude.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot of other pieces they added here. They only lost Tyreek Hill, and they added like five or six potential playmakers.
Is anyone, and I get what you're saying, Samter, is anyone like wondering, does Kelce kind of make this whole thing go or not go? Like, if Kelce shows any wear, tear, if he slows down at all, don't you feel like that would be the biggest hindrance here?
No, the biggest hindrance is that O-line. Like, if they don't protect Mahomes.
Like every football team.
Yeah. I'm not as worried about Kelce. I'm much more worried about the O-line and sort of like...
But if Kelce loses a step, like, which is not unfathomable to say. I mean, he's been incredible, but is he a decade in?
I think the system and Mahomes will be enough. I'm not worried about him. I do think, too, if they could keep in the second half, the Bengals pinned back and came after Mahomes. Like, they had no fear of the running game. Like, Andy Reid cannot run out of victory. So I think the Chiefs need to get a little more diverse so they can't just chase Mahomes all day. Remember what Lance Hendrickson did to them in the second half? It was just hype.
Trey Hendrickson.
Who's Lance? Lance Hendrickson.
Lance Hendrickson sounds like he basketball would have been the player, British, right? Prime Minister at one point.
What is the basketball player's name? Lance Hendrickson?
Lance Thomas? Former Nick?
Oh.
Lance Stevenson?
Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson.
I was thinking Lance Stevenson. I combined Lance Stevenson and
and Trey Hendrickson. Now, that together would be one scary athlete.
I honestly think Mahomes is going to be mad. You could tell. Did you see his press conference?
Well, they're all secret killers.
Yeah, he was subtly taking some shots in that last press conference. He's ready to go.
Speaking of taking shots, we're going to tell you everything that's going on in the Warriors Championship Parade, plus the best chance to win a Super Bowl. We'll explain what we mean next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.